Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Donna Gift Show. I'm Donna Gift, a woman who's held many titles and has reinvented herself multiple times. And this version of me is a lifestyle entrepreneur and your host at the Donna Gift Show. And we are here to shed some light on a darkening world. Each week, we connect you with an inspiring person or message to help you love yourself enough to truly love others, bringing us back to human connection and raising the collective consciousness. My guests allow me to explore the depths of their mind and touching on topics that some might consider taboo. And we do get personal. It's your thoughts put into our words. And I really mean that. You could submit your questions and topics to www.donnagift.com. And you might just hear it on the next episode. We love hearing from you and we're grateful you're here. And without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode.
Hey, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the very first episode. I'm your host, Donna Gift. This is my first guest ever, obviously. It's going to be the Dylan Warder. I know, everyone quiet down, please, because obviously we're trying to record. Dylan Warder, guys, is my first guest on the podcast, and are you surprised? He is my boyfriend, my lover, the warrior, the spiritual strong man, and had to have him on my interview. Not only because he's my boyfriend, although it did have a big part, but because he's a very interesting and fascinating man. So say hello, Dylan.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Good job.
All right. Take care, y'all.
So for those of you who don't know him, if you haven't seen him on my social media or stalked his page, which I'm sure some of you have, Dylan is a former detective of the New Orleans SWAT team who, after a crazy series of events, decided to walk away from his job in the prime of his career. He's definitely murked a couple fools. You know what I mean? Like, he murked them. Entrepreneurship actually found him only a month later, and he spent the last 4 years serving over 175,000, I'm just kidding, 175 clients, which is still a lot in the coaching and consulting space. He spent the last year and a half working towards the relaunch of I Believe in You, which is a startup tech product hybrid that connects a bracelet that says I believe in you on it and that is meant to be exchanged with others to an app where you can document and track the impact that each bracelet is exchanged over and over throughout the world. Basically, as Dylan showed you, it is these bracelets right here. It has a little cool tracker on it. So
it's not a tracker, it's a reading.
Okay, reading, let's not chip. Say tracker, because then you're like, oh, he used to be SWAT, he's gonna track my shit. Like, that's not,
it's an NFC reader, like your credit card, where you tap it and it links.
Yes. So he said that way better than I did. Yes, we will find you and we will hunt you down. I'm kidding. But yeah, so it has a NFC scanner. So whenever you exchange this bracelet, you can track the lineage of where it's traveled. So the goal, the name of the game is to hand it over to somebody that you believe in and basically spread love and happiness, right?
And you get to document the exchange to be able to watch the impact that it makes as you give it away, and then it's given away. You'll be able to see everywhere it goes and the impact it makes for as long as it exists.
Yeah, which is super cool. And that is launching, when is that?
Hopefully January 2023, okay. If not February, depending on a couple things. But cool. App is just about ready.
Okay. We're definitely going to be looking out for that. And you guys should too, because they are freaking bomb. The designs on it are sick. But let's dive into the actual topic that we're going to talk about. So a lot of people have asked us about our relationship, but we never actually talked about it fully. We did one live session the one time, and we kind of talked about relationships, but it was so broad. So we want to actually break up a definition of
It's really weird how she's doing
this. It's a weird way to do it.
But so we want to break up.
We just want to talk about different segments, I guess, that we feel like it would benefit people to just hear about, because it's something that we're actively working on right now. The topic of today is the balance, I guess I'll say, between the masculine and feminine energy and how we've kind of struggled with it and
how we've navigated the challenges of it.
There you go. Dylan is a very positive person, and he only uses sprinkly words that are very positive.
Oh,
so.
Come on.
And I'm trying to get better. I honestly, it's a trait that I am working on. So speaking more back on the masculine and feminine side, what, so we can establish a solid foundation, what is your definition of a healthy masculine man? I know that's a pretty broad question.
It is, because I think of the different scenarios and roles that a man plays and what is considered a healthy masculine man in those roles. Okay. So since we're talking about relationships, I guess like I'll give like a very general sense and then more so speak on it within relationships. I actually, when I think of healthy masculine, I actually imagine a tree, a very strong tree.
A tree.
In a forest, yeah.
Okay. Like the old trees that are like, it's grown so fucking huge. You're like, this is obnoxiously huge.
Yep. And,
okay.
And I think the reason why I imagine that, you know, I'm very visual, is I think of how strong it stands and how many really strong winds and storms and all everything that it has weathered, and it still has stood strong.
Literally, even man can't take down a really huge tree.
Yeah.
Like, you would need some heavy artillery.
Yeah. So
that's a great visual.
I think I see it as that. I also imagine like towering over the rest of the forest because of the ability to stand there strong and almost lead.
Like protect.
Yeah. And be able to watch over everyone. So, and so obviously as a healthy masculine man, especially in a relationship, I think of protecting, providing, you're providing oxygen. There's this energy exchange with everything around it. And it still always stays strong. The wind blows and it may give a little bit, especially when it needs to.
There's branches that might break off.
But it never breaks. Totally, right?
Yeah. The trunk of it is solid.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is my, like, just kind of like a visual that I get when I think of a healthy masculine man overall.
Okay.
Within a relationship, I would define a healthy masculine man as someone who is able to show up in the relationship strong with drive and ability to lead, and is able to really not only provide, not only be the protector, but also be able to hold space, be able to control his emotions. And
so a dash of feminine side.
It's actually in ways, the man that has higher testosterone and is more masculine actually has a better ability to be kind of like stoic and have composure within the relationship. When he's super emotional and heightened emotions and doesn't have as much control over himself, that's actually his feminine side.
Right. So, okay. So I guess this is where I feel like it can get confusing, because when there is a stoic man, you think, yes, unemotional, but then it's easy to believe that that means unattached or like not caring. So how do you, because I feel like a strong, healthy, masculine man can hold space, but still also like, I don't know, relate or like connect with their person, which is a more feminine trait, I believe, right? Or am I wrong on that?
No, I think that there's little nuances of both.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
So that it can be confusing. But I guess just to like continue to kind of define as far as my definition of a healthy masculine man, I think that it's the ability to have the masculine and feminine energy to be able to identify when which one is appropriate and how much of which one is appropriate.
Okay. So like a good balance.
Yeah. Okay. As well as, I think the ability to listen is like, it's, It's something
I don't know
that,
if that's like masculine or feminine though.
I don't necessarily know which one it might be. I think that either way, it's like a healthy human being that like has that yeah. skill. But when I think of a healthy masculine man, I think of someone who's able to listen, who's able to hold space, but also who's able to be soft, who's able to say when you are, when you as a woman is emotional or crying or need support in a certain way, I'm able, like, as a healthy masculine man, I'm able to hold space. I'm able to hold you, right? And like, and console you and be soft, be compassionate, be understanding, right? Mm-hmm. And then when morning comes, get up, do hard things, go to work, provide. When I come home, if we go out on a date, whatever we do, I'm able to protect you. I am, and no matter what, like, I'm putting myself, I will put myself in harm's way to protect you. Right. And be able to carry myself in a way where you trust that.
And I think that's a really important part is to develop that or to establish that security so that your woman does trust you and does feel safe to like open up. So you mentioned provider and protector. So yes. Do you feel like being a provider is almost like a necessary box that needs to be checked in order to be a healthy man?
I don't know if it's a box that needs to be checked to be a healthy man. Mm-hmm. I think it's a box that needs to be checked to be a fulfilled man, most likely.
Oh, wow. Okay. So does being a provider, is that fulfilling for you?
Yes. I feel like, so I grew up where both my parents, it was like, the effort was 50-50, but I think my mom like made more than my dad. And so I saw them, it was very much as far as the effort. They were both gone a lot, working all the time. My dad was working like hard jobs, very manual, coming home dirty, like the real like main act of love as far as like a memory goes for like between my mom and dad is like my dad would like crash on the couch. My mom would like untie his boots and take them off.
Aww, right. And I love that. I actually really yeah. love that.
And so, and I loved it too. Cause that was like the moment, it was like probably one of the only moments I really saw the expression of love and like his gratitude for her. And as far as like the way my memories are prioritized in my head from my own traumas and stuff, right? I'm sure that there was a lot more acts of love, but
we all got trauma, yes. guys.
Yeah, so
join the trauma train.
I think for me there was still with my dad like working really hard, there was still this image of being a provider, mm-hmm. but it was both of my parents. But I think that like society and how I was brought up, I guess like overall I had a belief that men were supposed to provide. And
it's obviously not that way anymore. There's so many different opportunities that are available to women now. And we've actually climbed up the corporate ladder, and a lot of women boss babes, like the whole boss babe movement and all that stuff it's different, you know, it really is different.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's fulfilling for a man to be able to show up in that way.
Yeah. I had a time period, I don't know how long it was, but I had a time period where that shifted, and I didn't realize at the time, but I was absolutely being influenced by everything that was going on in the world to start to believe that it should be 50-50.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about that. When was this shift? So okay, actually let's dive a little bit more into the beginning, before the shift, before that, before you and I. This is before D&D. BDD. No, that sounds like a horrible porno. Big D. No. Okay. So let's just talk about before you and I.
Okay.
We've had a lot of conversations about our exes, and I don't know if other couples do that. I've heard some people like don't want to talk about their exes. They just like completely take that off the table. But for us, we've been very open and communicative about literally everything. Like, this man knows everything about me. Probably too much. Like, I waxed his butthole. Like, that's how far we've gone.
Babe.
This is how far we've gone.
That has nothing to do with how much I know about you.
Yeah, well, it's just showing how close we are. It's very real. It's real. Okay.
You were planning on trying to find a way to slide that in.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely. I was like, I'm going to totally throw in there that I waxed this man's butthole. He's got a nice butthole.
Twice.
He let me do it twice. It's going to keep happening, obviously.
Oh, my God. Come on. What's it?
Okay. So, before you and I, obviously, you dated and was actually almost a fiance. You were almost married.
I was engaged, so was a fiance.
Right, yeah, because she said,
wasn't
yeah.
Was an actual fiance.
That's right. Okay, so yep. You were a fiance. And he let me know that this was, that during that time, you were the provider. And by, so I can actually clarify what provider is that we're talking about. We're talking about financially. We're talking about, like, bringing home the bacon.
Being the majority moneymaker.
Right. But obviously, that's not the full term of provider. There's a lot of other things that you can do to be a provider. It doesn't have to be financially. But right now, for this topic, we are talking about provider, just to clarify. So Dylan was a provider for his ex. And obviously, that was not how you and I started. Like, you and I started very 50-50, actually. It was like, I remember there was times when I was like, wanting to ask about, like, if we should split rent because you were spending so much time at my place. And I was like, we should talk about this. I don't know. Yeah. But so there was a little bit of a pressure or like something else that was not allowing
us. It was a discomfort.
It was a discomfort. That's the word. That you weren't sitting right with being the provider in our relationship. Obviously, we were still new, yada, yada. But what was the shift or like the aha moment in your life that went from like provider then into this space of like not being the provider or like wanting to be 50-50 and then establishing a provider role again with me?
So in my last relationship, I was the majority provider, although she contributed, I was the one that was mainly providing, mm-hmm. Financially for years and years and years. And then it obviously did not work out. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a part of me that looked back at the amount of money that I spent on the relationship, on her, on, you know, her paying her tuition for things and like just thousands and thousands of dollars that I spent. And all of a sudden I found myself trying to start a business and not having anything in my savings account.
Yeah.
And it put a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, but it was more so just a poor perspective.
Mm.
Like, I don't regret that by any means.
Yeah.
In no way, shape, or form. I think in that moment, it was just a underdeveloped Dylan that was looking at it and regretting in this moment of like anger and disappointment and resentment and just negative emotions of like, why the fuck did I do that? Like, if I did the math, I'd probably have $100,000 that I could have like sitting somewhere because of the little bit that I did put investments did grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like, I did quick math. I'm like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And so, and then after that, I went into a period of like no dating, no sex, nothing for 6-8 months, tried a little bit of dating here and there. And just like, and I'm like, I don't want to spend money on somebody that isn't gonna stick around or it's not gonna work out, as if we'll ever know. Right?
That's true.
So it's like
you won't know until you're in it. You gotta be in it.
And even then, you don't fucking know.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't.
Because somebody could very well just cheat on you all of a sudden, and the next day it's over.
Or like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Like, as far as compatibility, trauma is like, somebody could die in your family, you handle it horribly, you spiral, and I can only support you for so long. There's so many things that can take place.
Gosh,
so you just don't know. And so that's a poor perspective. You live in the now and you lead with your heart, right?
And you keep your heart open. And I think that's
you try to keep your heart open.
The more you develop your mind, the more you are learning from these experiences and taking away the positives and moving throughout your life, I feel like you will be able to keep your heart open more oftentimes than not.
For sure.
But they do, it does close off during, that's healing. Yeah. But it's definitely not easy. It's easier said than done.
Right.
That's for sure.
So I think as far as the shift, right? So during that time, it was more of this like, I don't want to spend money on women. Mm. Like, if you want to hang out with me, I want to hang out with you. Like, cool. But like, there was just like, I still was paying for dates, like on dates, not for dates. But
unless, I'm a mail order bride.
Unless like, unless I did a little burst on Tinder or something. But
babe.
Hey.
You never had Tinder.
I don't even know. What is that? I don't even know what you're talking about. So I think that when you and I met, I was finally in a place after 2 years of healing and spending a lot of time alone where I was finally really open to a relationship. And when we met, obviously we're learning a lot about each other. Part of learning a little bit about each other was learning that, you know, the last couple of guys that you had dated were fairly well off financially. And so,
guys, let's be clear. I was more particular in who I was choosing to involve myself with because the shitty men I have dealt with were not only shitty in personality, but they were shitty, like their lives were shitty. Like I was literally dealing with men who were horribly like taking care of themselves financially. And also they were just like super, super damaged. So
are you done defending yourself?
Yeah, no, I'm still defending. Clearly, my armor is up. Like, fucking rude. But yeah, so in my defense, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. The only reason why I seeked higher financially stable men was because in my mind, that associated with a more developed mind, if that makes
sense. Which was found to not be true.
Right, because there are some douchebags who make a fuck ton of money,
okay,
guys.
All right, so my point I was trying to make before Donna went into defending herself around dating men who
Donna.
is that between my like the little negative thing I had around spending money on women, and then learning that the last couple of guys that she had dated were far more financially well off than I was, which sounds like a weird statement, I feel like.
You say, well.
And so between that and, you know, maybe some trust issues that were woven in there, I didn't want to just immediately start giving out or like spending all of my money and paying for everything
in the relationship.
Yeah.
You were testing me?
100%.
Did I pass?
You're still here. And I'm still here. We're still here.
We're about to fight.
That sounded worse. So I think that there was a lot of resistance in the beginning. I think that I had to really get to know your character, your drive, your ambition, your dreams, your vision for your life, and your ability to, not so much your ability, but more so I wanted to see the consistency. And so to see consistency, time is required.
Yeah, that's and very so, true. That's how trust is built too, at least for me.
At least for you.
At least for me. Some people just give trust. I don't.
I think that trust should start at a 50% battery. And based on the actions and more so actions than words, obviously.
Yeah.
But the way someone behaves and shows up, it either moves towards 100% or it moves towards 0%.
Yeah.
And
how can, like, what is the incongruency that is happening with their words and what they actually show up like?
Yeah.
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 I agree.
So the shift for me happened after watching enough of your effort and I think it also took a couple conversations around really understanding your dating perspective, who you're dating, who you're looking for.
Yeah.
On a deep, a much deeper level, because I had a perspective that we won't share. We won't share.
Okay. That's off the table.
Gosh. Yeah.
You didn't tell me that. Yeah. It's not in your description here.
Off the table.
Okay. Off the table topics, which by the way, we do have clarity on, well, we should have clarity on what
there's
is
like, the there's like one or two things that are off the table.
What's the other one?
I don't know, but there's gotta be one or two. If there's one, I'd even know it.
That's fair. Okay. So I will not poke at a open wound or wound at
it's
all.
It's not an open wound. It's there's okay, some we shit we keep to ourselves.
That's fair. That right. is very true. And that's another very important thing
there we go.
For couples out there. There is some shit you need to keep to yourselves.
We need to get so, different.
Yeah, these are horrible coasters. These are actually the worst fucking coasters I've ever got. Okay. all right. So what was the aha moment that allowed for that shift? Was there like a one moment, or was it more just a collective, like, okay, she's actually pretty cool. Like, she's probably like the coolest person I know.
That was something I learned very early on, that you are really cool and maybe the coolest person I know. But there was more so a
getting laid tonight
moment where I already got a blowjob earlier since I got home.
Okay.
So,
yeah, ladies, I'm good, ladies,
if you need some.
Then I'm just gonna say, ladies, give your man a blowjob. They're so fucking happy. Let's just do it. They like it, and it's fun to please. So. Enjoy.
My name is Dylan Ward, and I approve this message. all right, where were we?
I was saying, what was the aha moment in our relationship that allowed the shift of the,
got it, got it. Do you want me to answer that, or do you just want to keep interrupting me?
I'm not. We're having a conversation.
If you keep opening your mouth like that. We're going to have to turn the camera off.
Stop it. Okay. What was that?
The aha moment.
Yes.
I think it happened incrementally, but there was like, it's almost like picking a lock, like the last like teeth, if you know anything about picking locks, which probably most people don't. So it's a horrible analogy.
80% of the people don't know.
80.
How to pick.
That's generous. I'd say 99. Anyways, I think the conversation we had in the game room.
Fucking get rid of that fucking thing. Coasters.
Please.
Okay.
The conversation we had that revolved around the one thing that's off the table. When I finally had that realization, or like we finally communicated things effectively instead of drunkenly, I stopped questioning parts of your character.
Got it.
That were still just like slightly, I'm like, I'm not 100%.
Okay.
Not 100%. And so once I felt like I trusted that who you were showing up as was who you actually were,
mm-hmm.
then I, like, so the commitment was already there for me, but it was more so a trust in like fully going all in.
So do you feel like that happened? Obviously, it happened through consistent communication, open communication. But do you feel like that was something that I also needed to almost like pave the way? So, for example, let's just say as far as like, ugh, fuck, what am I trying to say right now? I'm so glad there's editing in here. So I guess what I'm saying is like, do you feel like you were able, like you maybe felt like you could have been the provider earlier on in our relationship, but that I needed to show an effort into moving in that way as well? Or do you feel like that was like you probably felt like you could be the provider sooner without that? Do you feel like I had to participate in that as well? Does that make sense?
I don't know if that makes sense, but I think I know what you're asking.
Sorry.
Excuse me, I'm burping up whiskey.
Like, okay, this is a good example. Do you feel like I had to show you that I was actually committed to this relationship by putting like almost all of my money into the joint bank account?
really going all towards the end of the...
That's the only example I could think of. Like, showing I'm willing to do the same. Like, I'm willing to take the leap of faith with you.
I don't think that it was needed.
Okay.
But it helped. Like, I was going to step into the role one way or another. It just helped us transition faster.
You feel like because of that, it was like a trust thing?
Yeah.
It was developed through. Yeah. Okay.
But I also like, I think just something I didn't touch on earlier is that I very early on, maybe even on our first date, second date, mentioned, and I don't know if this was a good thing or a bad thing, but I think it may have been the first night because we were just talking openly about dating. We hadn't even like really, we hadn't kissed yet, nothing. We didn't even know that like it was going to turn into what it is now.
Yeah.
But I had mentioned that I wanted to meet someone before we launched IBIY because I wanted to trust that they weren't a gold digger. Because
I do remember I'm
very confident from the launch of IBOI that I will then become very wealthy. And part of me just really wanted to meet someone before that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, like, wealth and fame or anything came, like, I just wanted to meet that person that was like my ride or die. And
because you wanted it to feel authentic.
Yes. And so part of me was worried that I mentioned that. And it's like, okay, well, maybe she'll just try to stick it out long enough until it actually launches. And then I'll see the true colors, right? that was a thought.
That's honest, right? Yeah.
But there were so many challenges in the beginning of our relationship. Not so many challenges, but there was like probably 3-4 months in, we started to have some difficult conversations and we were really getting deep into like our own traumas and insecurities and things like we wouldn't have been aware were still there when we were alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were coming up once we were starting to get serious.
And it happened quickly because of how open we communicated with each other. So we like fucking fast tracked it to.
Yeah.
Probably the more difficult conversations.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And so I think that that's where I think I got to a certain point where I'm like, okay, if she was just in it for the potential money that I may make from this brilliant business in the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's been enough challenges now where, like, she would have left.
Yeah.
Like she would have figured out some way to end this.
Yeah.
And so that mixed with, like, obviously watching your character and the trust and certain conversations where there was some clarity around some things that I, like, thought were completely over here, but the truth was this. All that kind of played a role, and to me, finally, be like, okay, it's time to step up. It's time to provide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, obviously, a huge, huge part of this entire decision that we made was the masculine place that you were operating out of and the feminine place that we wanted to allow you to step into so that I could actually continue to take on the masculine side because we were butting heads.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were operating out of such masculine energy as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. For me, the aha moment was very much me needing to recognize that I was in such a masculine energy. And that happened through the video that we watched, the man who wrote, "Men are from Mars, women are from Venus."
Did it happen then? Or did it happen when, like, on our maybe fifth date, we walked in your house and I asked you, when's the last time you let someone take care of you?
So, I don't think it happened that time.
Okay.
I think when you offered that, I didn't see it as me being in such a masculine energy. I saw it as you being a sweetheart. So I wasn't ready to receive that. I wasn't open to hearing that I was operating in such a masculine energy. I don't think I would have seen it unless somebody were to literally tell me, "Hey Donna, you're kind of a man." Like, like, you know what I mean?
So to give some context, she's very, very independent and has had, as she was saying earlier, she was dating men that wanted to be like 50-50 all the time. And she was like sick of that.
Mm. So you can imagine the struggle I had dating Dylan in the first place, because he was operating in a space of not wanting to spend money on a woman. I still
in the first 2 months spent like $3,000 on us eating out and dates and shit.
Well, yeah, but you know, it was like
isn't like a lot, but it's enough. Whereas like I wasn't like,
yeah, it was difficult for me because I was in such a masculine energy, and the way that I saw it, because I was so masculine, I needed a more highly masculine man who like did everything to like handle me. And when we first started dating, Dylan didn't have a car, and it was like this whole, he had a roommate, and it was like this whole thing. So it went against everybody that I've been dating, honestly. That's just the honest truth. Yeah, I was like, yeah, I had second thoughts about the relationship because I'm like, I'm literally picking up this guy for our day. I'm literally like, I don't want to spend the night at his place because there's a roommate. Like, it was that kind of shit. But you can tell.
Why did you continue dating me?
Because we connected. Like, that's obvious.
It was more of a joke in question, but.
Yeah. I didn't care. But yeah, it was, so there is more important, and again, this is very dependent on the female, because I have always been more heavily invested on personality versus what you have to offer, because I was operating so much on a masculine too. Like, I didn't need to be cared for. So if that made any sense, The only reason why I started dating men who were like better off is because I got tired of taking care of men and still being treated like shit. So it was just a combination. I was trying something different. But then I found you, and then it just, I was like, ah, fuck it. I like this guy. But you, like, you're a different breed for me, at least. So anyways, going back onto the provider role that you have stepped into, and me actually taking a step back and putting myself more into a feminine role, what are like the crazy struggles that you've experienced like stepping into that role? Or do you feel like that just kind of came naturally?
I think that the only challenge is the pressure and being in a position sometimes where I have to say no to us doing things because we're not that financially, and because I'm like, I want to be making enough for us to save and have a really good nest egg and create financial security before I act out of financial prosperity and abundance. Yeah. And so I think that that is the most challenging thing, because I want to say yes and I just want to give you everything that you want or desire or like want to do or eat or whatever. And I think the other part of it is honestly probably just the constant pressure I'm putting on myself to get to the next level financially, to just provide at the next level and get to a place where I can say yes to everything. It's just more of a contemplation of, do we want to allocate our money here or here? Mm-hmm. And that be the genuine place we're operating out of.
That makes sense. Now, do you feel like there was a struggle between you stepping into that role and me having to back away from me being masculine? Do you feel like there was a struggle as far as like me allowing you to take the reins?
100%. I think that it was like a back and forth. Like, some days it was good, and then other days you were really struggling with it. And like, you're like, no, like, I need to go get a job, and I need to be able to make money. I'm like,
I was literally contemplating going back into real estate, which was my heavy masculine side, right? I was going to be like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, I'll just like sell a couple homes like I used to, and actually literally considering door knocking again, which would put me back into a heavy masculine state.
Yes. Yeah. So she would go maybe once every other week, she'd get into this state where she was like, I don't like this, actually. Like, I know I asked for it, but, like, I don't like it. And I'm going to go get a job. Or I need to, like, sign up for the LinkedIn automation system again so I can start generating content clients or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so it was just this fucking ping pong back and forth until she finally started to give in. Mm. And now you're working out of a place of passion instead of a place of survival or need for independence.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I wanted to kind of reach out to women about. So from my experience of being a heavily masculine woman, I've literally grown up very masculine, very independent, survival mode 100% up until more recently. And so I want women out there to realize, like, okay, like, yes, it's okay to be masculine, but it does cause a bit of friction when you want a man to step up to the plate and be a provider and be the man of the house, but you're not allowing him to. Like, there is a struggle with that. And I do empathize with men nowadays because we're not, like, us as the boss babe culture is not allowing or empowering our men to step up to the fucking plate. Like, do you like being in the provider role?
I do.
It's stressful, but is it rewarding? Like, what does that feel like for you to be able to say, like, hey, I can provide for both me and my woman, and she's happy doing whatever, and she takes care of all the shit at home. Like,
I think there's two parts of it. I think the one part that, like, I feel really good knowing that, like, okay, all the bills that were paid this month came from the things that I'm doing. Like, mm-hmm. I paid for all the bills, the food, all these things. Like, that feels good to me that I'm able to provide, because that means that I am making enough money. I'm like, there's this, like, part that's like, I'm doing enough to cover two lives in our lifestyle and things of that nature. So there's this part of, like, absolutely that is, comes from the place of providing. But mm-hmm. the other part that I think is fulfilling for me personally, and I don't think this is necessarily most men because they don't have the partner that I do, mm-hmm. but and I think even if they did, they don't have that partner, I think that they could still think like this if they got to, I guess, the place that I am. Not that I'm, like, up here or anything like that, but the place that I'm at in my journey, which is maybe here compared to where I'm going. But mm-hmm. a very fulfilling thing for me is providing for you so that you can pursue your dreams without worrying about monetizing it or worrying about how much money it's making immediately, because I believe in you so much. Mm. And it's not that I believe in this venture that you're doing so much. It's that I believe in you, and that this venture is eventually going to bring you to whatever magical thing that you create and impact that you bring to the world. And at that point, because of your heart, which is the other thing, the part of you that I believe in the most, mm-hmm. it is going to eventually make such an impact that the income comes with it. Mm-hmm. And so if I can provide for you long enough where you can relentlessly pursue your dreams long enough in order for them to actually develop into what they can, their actual potential, mm-hmm. without having to worry about the finances, mm-hmm. then you'll be able to get there much sooner as well. Mm. Instead of having to pivot or take a side job to supplement, things of that nature. So,
mind you, he's been with me through a couple of different ventures.
Already, we've been together for a year. So, a little over here, but
he's been so kind through each. He's like, oh yeah, let's just develop the next plan. Like, how many plans have you come?
This one, what you guys are watching is the last fucking plan for the next year. That's it. I told her. I'm like, you're committing to this one.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's making me.
I will drag her up the stairs and bring a guest over.
Oh yes, daddy. Wait, hold on. That sounds
female horrible. Guest.
Excuse me?
Hey, you said yes, daddy. I said bring a guest. So just, if you're trying to get into through something already, I figured it waits like 5 to 10 years before you finally opened up to it. But I mean, if you, the sooner the better. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
So another reason why we work is because we're both a little fucking crazy. Like, he knows if he does that, y'all would be gone.
Maybe.
Off the earth.
I can't off do it. But the thing you have to realize is I can't do it without you.
Or it's not a threesome. Excuse me, Dylan. You will touch no other woman. Hmm? Mm. Ever. Not even with my consent. Yeah. Because okay. I must have been possessed. Anyways.
All the ladies watching, forget it. I'm sorry. Forget it. Not going to have a threesome with us. We do get approached by a lot of swinger couples,
it's
though.
It's fucking weird. It's a little weird.
It's not weird. We're attractive. They want to bang us. Or they want to watch us bang them. Opposite.
That's kind weird. Of thing.
That's what they like that, though.
Okay. Like, we're that's not in the business
that's
of porn.
That's not a masculine man, though.
That is like, not.
That is the opposite of a masculine man. If I'm you want to watch another dude bang your wife.
Yeah, apparently which, that's called.
The amount of times I've had friends and I've been offered that is crazy.
What is that called? Stallion? Is that called like a. Like, no. It's a.
I'm sure there's a name for it, but I don't know. Like a
There's a fucking word. And I can't remember what it's called. Like, I know, like, women is like unicorn or something.
You didn't even notice I finished your drink, did you?
You bitch! That's rude.
Can we take a break so you can go do refills?
Absolutely not. Anyways.
All right, what's next?
So, talking about you stepping into, obviously, the masculine role and everything. Now, do you feel like your contribution is almost unfair or more significant than the woman? And I'm not just talking, I'm talking about like when men are completely being in a provider role, do you feel like you have the short end of the stick? Do you feel like this is like almost unfair for women to be able to stay home and like take care of the household and just like live in fucking foo-foo la la land?
Fuck no.
You don't?
No. Okay.
So I feel like some men...
I don't want to do any of that shit.
You don't want to just like be living out your passions and have someone pay for your shit while you figure it out?
If that was all it was, maybe, but it's not. It's also doing the dishes, cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry.
Okay, wait, this is another topic.
All that stuff.
So is that a necessary exchange for you to be the provider and for me to be completely not providing?
Yes.
Okay, so it has is
yeah. Standard. It's teamwork.
Got it. Yeah.
So there's two things that need to be done here. We need to create enough money to be able to eat, drink, house ourselves, and live our lifestyle. All these things, and we also need to take care of those things. And then obviously, when it comes to family, building a family, things of that nature. So, if not, then it is just an actual sugar daddy.
Got it. Yeah, and that's true. Right? So what if, okay, so we're stepping into the area of like what once you're...
Can I add something?
Yeah.
So I think if we were to get to a point, or when we get to a point, and I'm just speaking in the other form, but like when we get to the point, you and I, where we are wealthy enough to hire help, right? Where they're doing all of those things that you used to do, right? That was...
Sorry.
Oh, water hose, huh?
How do people not sneeze on a podcast? That's an honest question.
I'm pretty sure everybody sneezes on every podcast ever. Oh. Yeah. It's something about the dust from these things, I'm pretty sure. Anyways. So, when we get to that point, honestly, I think, like, the job as a mother is so hard and so taxing. Like, put your time in.
I'm sure.
You've put your time in. And also, like, you'll never stop pursuing something. It's just who you are. So that's also why I, like, chose you as a partner. Like, I wouldn't be with somebody who isn't ambitious enough to, like, always be pursuing the next level of them. Like, the next version, the next way of impacting, the next passion, the next skill they want to acquire. Like, the next experience they want, an adventure that they want to experience. Like, I wouldn't be with somebody who didn't have that, like, in them at their core, right? So, I know that there's going to be all these different seasons of our lives, and this is just one where I need to go make the fucking money, And there's areas in which you are, literally right now where we are is like, yes, I've stepped in the provider role and you are taking care of our home more, but you're also working on things, which I think is always going to be the case. Mm-hmm. You'll always be working on things. And so the teamwork around the house stuff is going to fluctuate. But like I think you had mentioned earlier, like, or you at least told me that you were asked a question about this, and now I'm bringing it up too early. I think the seasons are just going to change. The dynamic is going to change. There's going to be this like kind of like the teeter totter is just going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to be a matter of like really thinking as a team and mm-hmm. showing up that way and making sure that we communicate to in a way where we can pick up the slack for each other.
And that's what it is. It's picking up the slack for each other. So I think what I would like to hopefully bestow upon our listeners is how to like, there obviously are couples out there where the man is the provider, the woman is working at home, and they're expected to take care of everything at home. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the best way? Because there's obviously times when I'm like not feeling doing the dishes. I'm not feeling like folding the laundry. Like, I'm exhausted because I'm working on other things as well. Like, what is the best way to approach you in expressing that?
I think because the thing is, if you like one, any communication in general is better than no communication, because the 100%. Buildup happens and then it comes out with a tone that cannot be received well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like,
or you guys like really take it to the extreme and fucking cheat. Like that's, people do that. They allow the buildup and they just act out.
Right. But we're talking about just chores.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
I think that just be like, hey babe, like I'm honest, like I'm really exhausted. Like, I don't have it in me to like cook tonight. Do you think you could? Or like, hey babe, like I'm exhausted. Do you potentially have the energy to cook for us tonight? Like just something of that nature, like expressing where you're at first and then the question.
Got it.
So like letting them know where you're at, where it's like, hey, can you cook tonight? It's like, okay, why? Like some men might think, mm-hmm. or it's just like, I think that like when you tell your state to him, it can trigger compassion to then, and like opens them up to say yes to whatever you're going to like ask them for.
Got it.
It's almost a hack.
Kind of like the sandwich hack about like compliment, then hard thing, then compliment, or like,
yeah,
good news, bad news, good news.
Yeah. Except for it's just like, you know, sausage and gravy on a biscuit. You know, the biscuit is how you feel the trigger of the compassion, and then the sausage and gravy is the ask. There's nothing after that.
That's actually a really horrible analogy.
Okay, but judgmental Julie.
My name's Donna. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think that's some pretty solid advice, because I feel like, well, also there are times when I feel like I'll ask something and it's like, if I ask too much in a gentle tone, you don't receive it well. So it's like, there's gotta be a balance. There's gotta be, what is like a foolproof way to ask? Do you really believe that that would work for majority? We can't say everyone, because there's obviously deviances, but majority of men, you feel like that would actually work? Women just need to speak up.
I don't know. I can't tell you what the, like, as far as the majority of men, I know that like the healthy men that I hang out with, mm-hmm. that would work.
That would receive. Yeah. Receive.
Well. I think the times where, because there's been plenty of times where you've asked me to do something and it hasn't been entirely received well. And I think that it's typically, if I don't receive it well, there's either a tonality thing where it's like, almost like your tone is telling me, like, I know this is going to piss you off, but, right?
And or you're setting him up for failure.
You're setting yourself up for failure. Right. Right.
It's kind of like when you come up to somebody and you're like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
That fucking word.
That's because, you know, now I'm preparing for the worst possible scenario.
Right.
So I think, I think the times that it's either that or it's like, I'm exhausted and now you're asking me to do something. And there's some sort of tone that like subconsciously is communicating something completely different than what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I can't figure it out, which then frustrates me even more. Mm. And I'm like, fuck, I just want to sit down on the goddamn couch for a second. Like that's the type of like energy that comes to it.
Yeah.
So I think that I really think that the best way, the most foolproof way you could possibly address it from my experience is telling me why first, which is really just like stating where you're at, like what's going on. Like I've just had a really long day. Like, is there any chance you could cook for us? Like just some sort of like where you're at first.
Bring the compassion.
Almost like why you want me to do it before you tell me what you want me to do.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And it's like, whether that is right or wrong is irrelevant. Like, of like whether or not like I should need that before I like say yes. It just is a way in which men, at least that are more like me, will receive it. And you'll get them to actually do what you want them to.
Yeah.
So there you go, ladies. Sorry, fellas.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I think there's often times where like we feel like we should not have to do certain things or we should not do that. But the truth of the matter is like we receive information differently. Men and women do.
I think another thing about this as far as like just to touch on another scenario that can take place is like maybe neither of us have the energy. Mm. So then the question is like instead of getting upset that like somebody else isn't willing to or doesn't like... We're all willing to, but do we want to? Do we, like, it would take a lot, but, like, any of us can cook. Mm-hmm. Any of us can clean. Any of us can do mm-hmm. the dishes. It's just a matter of, like, willingness and desire. Mm-hmm. And my desire increases when I know that your energy is lower than mine.
Mm. Right? Oh, that's a good point.
But yeah. If both of us are just, we've had a long fucking week, it's like, okay, like, does it need to be done right now?
Yeah.
And sometimes that question alone may piss you off where you're like, no, it doesn't need to be, but I'd like it to be. Mm. But if like we can like be a little bit calmer in the exchange and like be a little bit more understanding of like, hey, he might be exhausted too. She might be exhausted too. It's like, okay, what if we tag team it tomorrow morning before we go to the gym?
Yeah.
Like, what if we, like we're both going to be busy tomorrow. Are we working at the house? No. So like, we're not even going to see it anyway. So it's not going to bother us. We're both going to be at a coffee shop or at the office. So like when we get home, let's take 30 minutes. We'll tag team these things and then we can go about our day or do whatever we need to.
Yeah,
I agree with that. Think that those are like the main three scenarios that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to navigate all three of them where it keeps peace.
Yeah.
And builds really positive rapport around asking mm-hmm. for certain things.
And I think that is just basically saying like fucking communicate. That like just communicate, guys. Yeah. And that's a problem that I feel like many of us do.
I mean, we navigate it daily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we still struggle. Like there are times, literally this morning, I didn't want to communicate that I didn't feel like washing the dishes, but I felt like Dylan was working so hard. He's been providing, he's really been stepping into that role. And I'm like, I don't want to ask him to do that because I felt bad. But remember, you're doing a disservice to yourself when you don't express how you're feeling just because you're like wanting to tiptoe around somebody. The right person will listen to it and maybe not receive it well right then and there, but they will receive it. And if you open that line of communication, like you will have that conversation again. It's not, I mean, you agree?
No, I agree 100%. I was just kidding. There's the part, what I was going to add to it was that what's funny is I asked her if she mm-hmm. wanted me to do them mm-hmm. and she continued to try to stand her ground is no, I'm stepping into this role and trying to stick it out. Yeah. And I didn't want to do them. That's not why I was asking if she wanted me to do them. It was that I could hear and feel in her energy that she was hitting this like threshold of doing the dishes this week. Right. Or whatever the unit of time is, I could feel it. Mm-hmm. And so the fucking last thing I want to do is those, like, I can't stand cleaning in the morning. And it's like, she's going to beat me to it every day because that's the last thing I'm going to do is do that in the morning. That's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to do any of that shit. So But I knew that if I didn't ask, she would hold on to it until it came bursting out. Mm-hmm. And then with that comes all sorts of other shit.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Are you charging that? Is that good?
Yeah, okay. That's good.
So I asked her. She still said no. And then eventually it started, like, the frustration started to come out. And then we started to talk about it. And then we communicated. And
yeah.
And then it worked out just fine. But
so, mind you guys, we have been in a relationship for over a year now. A little over a year. And it's still something that we have to navigate. Like, communicating and expressing yourself and feeling comfortable to express yourself is done over time. So don't be upset with yourself when you don't express yourself. Just know that, hey, this is probably damaging the relationship overall if you don't express yourself. Because that's something I'm working on, for sure.
I think also just like looking at these instances, opportunities.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's an opportunity for me to improve in this area, for mm-hmm. me to improve my communication mm-hmm. in this area. And that's like any time that we feel like a negative emotion, we're like, oh, I feel it.
Emotion. Yeah.
What is it? Why is it coming up?
Yeah.
Right? And then we figure out in our heads how to navigate it either on our own or we communicate with each other to then be able to navigate it together.
Right. Oh, and another thing that I think is important, that when you do feel an emotion and you're not sure if it's like something that should be addressed right now, if it's something that you can speak on right now, or if it's whatever, I think it is very important to be able to withhold it until you're ready to actually explain what it is that you're fucking feeling. Because there are often times where I prematurely will express to Dylan something. I'm like, hey, we want to talk. I need to talk about this. That's literally me saying we need to talk. Like, and I'm setting, and you're setting, again, where you're setting yourself up for failure, because in the silence, people will create stories. So if you give somebody you care about, right, you're giving them way too much time to think about something that you're wanting to talk about. You're giving them way too much time for silence. They will fill up the silence with stories in order to make sense of what it is the fuck you want to talk about. So rather than bringing it up and like touching base on it and saying, hey, we need to talk about this later, don't fucking bring it up. Just like keep it within yourself. And then when you're ready to talk about it, then bring it up and be prepared to have the conversation right then and there, or don't bring it up at all. Like, that's my advice.
I agree.
And that's something that I need to fucking learn, guys. I'm giving advice on shit that I haven't actually implemented and perfected. But it's true. I'm aware of it.
You're learning from your own mistakes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and that's what it is.
That was one that was made Saturday. This won't be launched for like 2 months, so you guys won't know.
Yeah, we'll fight tonight.
What particular event it took place at?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it's true. I mean, I think that's some pretty solid takeaway. That's a solid takeaway.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You want to feel heard. You want to express your fucking shit. I get it. We all fucking do. But there is a time and a place. Just like for every fucking thing, there is always a time and a place. So don't release that shit until you're ready to fucking release that shit and actually have a conversation about it. Like, we need to learn how to like shut the fuck up. That's honest.
It's called emotional restraint.
Emotional restraint, aka STFU. Shut the fuck up. Okay, on that note, we are getting close to the hour time frame here. Since we are talking about masculine and feminine energy, what advice could you give to men out there to be able to step into a healthy masculine energy? Like, what are some activities or mindset things or like literally vlogs or anything that you suggest would be helpful for a man to explore the healthy balance of masculine and feminine and to show up as a powerful man?
Oh, it's a loaded question.
It is very loaded. And that's the last question that I'm going to have. So load it up, babe.
I think the first thing I would say is find the ambition to become a healthy masculine man because that is what it requires. A lot of people will dabble and they'll try some things out, but you have to have ambition. You have to have a deep desire. And most men, unfortunately, wait until they are in an enormous amount of pain, whether it's from a relationship breakup, whether it's from dating and failing for a long time, whether it's from being alone for a very long time, whether it's addiction or whatever it is, like, men typically will wait until they hit rock bottom to then start to pursue a healthier version of themselves. So I think the first thing is find the ambition. Don't let it find you. And then once you have that ambition, I think becoming, working on vulnerability and actually communicating how you feel is very big, because it's not so much the need to communicate how you feel to others, even though that is massive when it comes to relationship building of every type of relationship. The skill there is being able to identify with yourself and communicate with yourself how you feel. If you can do that with yourself, you can do it with others. Or if you can do it with others, you can do it with yourself. And so I think that that is very important. I think that that a lot of times requires deep reflection as well as consistent reflection. We can sit down for 2 hours and we can ask ourselves a bunch of questions once every few years, but that doesn't allow us to really know ourselves, because if you saw a friend 3 years ago and then you saw them today, they wouldn't know who you are. And so
hopefully, and that's a good thing.
Right. Well, yeah, if you've been growing, they wouldn't know who you truly are, right? They wouldn't know how you've changed. And so the same goes for yourself at a certain level. Like, if you haven't taken a moment to sit down and really reflect with yourself on how you've changed, the areas that you need to work on and grow, like, be real and honest with yourself around your insecurities. Like, your ability to be honest with yourself is one of the biggest things. It's hard, but it's one of the biggest things that you can do to be able to grow as a human, because you have to first identify the problem to then figure out the solution. And so you have to figure out where your challenges are, like, where are your emotional, like, reactions. Anytime you have a negative emotion, cool. That's not because of what somebody else is doing. It's because how you feel about what somebody else is doing. So if that's the case, it's okay. Why? Why do I feel that way? Is it because of something that happened to me a couple weeks ago? Or is it from 25 years ago when I was 7 years old and my dad did something similar to, like,
touch that? Touch my Tweedledee part.
And there we go.
Sorry, I mean, come on. That's traumatizing for anybody.
Yep.
For some people, it's not, but...
For fuck's sake.
He touched me in my no-no part. Sorry, I'm throwing him off his game. What? Keep going, please.
That's all, folks.
All right, guys. Did you want to say some final words?
I think that when it comes to relationships, communication is the number one. I mean, when it comes to life, business, anything, communication is the number one skill, but absolutely is the number one skill when it comes to your ability to succeed in your relationship. And I think that you really have to be on the same page and have the same level of commitment to heal and grow and develop as human beings, because the most difficult way to navigate a relationship is if you are on different wavelengths when it comes to growth, healing, and development, because eventually one of you is going to outgrow the other one. 100%. And it's like, even for us, like, there's been times over the last year for both of us where it's like, do I really want to stick this out?
Oh.
Like, do I really want to deal with this in particular thing any longer? Right. And it's like, that sounds very dramatic, but it's like,
Because you start future pacing. You start thinking like this is
it's been be. It's been few and far between, but I think the point is that if you at a certain point you've tried to stick something out long enough and you don't see change, then you become closer and closer to throwing in the towel. But for you and I, there's been times where that thought has come up, but very shortly after I see an effort in changing that thing and healing in that area and making progress in that area and growing through it. And so that progress shows me your commitment and allows me to keep going and stay committed in the relationship. Whereas if I didn't see that growth or that effort, even just the effort, right, for months at a time, then I would be much quicker or not have as much strength and belief that eventually we would get to the other side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my last words around that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. If you're arguing over the same thing over and over and over and you don't see any amount of growth, like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
You have to believe that someone's actually making an effort. That you have to see it. You have to actually be living in that they're actually growing along with you. So that's all we have for today, you guys. I hope that you were able to take away a little bit of golden nuggies from this, because this is some real shit. I mean, I feel like this is stuff that people really do need to hear, like the truth, honest truth about it. Like
100%.
Masculine and feminine energy is not easy to balance. It does not happen overnight. And when you see the first red flag, that doesn't mean fucking run. That means communicate and see, do a little feeler out there. Like, is this going to improve? Are we going to keep sticking around the same area? Now, if you're stuck in the same area, maybe you need to reevaluate, but don't give up like right away, because if we gave up right away, we would have been gone a long time ago. This would have ended a long time ago, because we had a lot of difficult, frustrating arguments, conversations. Like, I have a hole in my wall downstairs.
Babe, for fuck's sake.
But it's true. It's the honest truth. Like, we have had some difficult shit. But if we weren't able to openly communicate about it and realize, like, okay, we're both committed to it, we are moving from this, we are growing, then it would have ended a long time ago. That's just the honest truth. So, anyways, how do we find you, Mr. Dylan J. Warter?
Just like that. Type that in. Dylan J. Warter to...
Warter, W-A-R-T-E-R.
Yes.
We'll make sure that we keep all the links and everything updated in the description. So if you guys want to do a little bit more research on him, he's going to have his website launched here in a couple of days. You'll be able to literally read his entire story from when he was... going into his space in entrepreneurship, the death of his partner, and how that's affected him. So there's a lot of fucking depth in this man, which is why I love him so much, because he is just, he's a character. You know, he's somebody you literally can't love. Can't not love.
I'm someone you can't love.
I'm sorry, the whiskey has gotten to me. Anyways.
It was lightweight.
It was two shots, and we haven't been drinking consistently. So yes, I am a lightweight. That's okay, and I'm happy to say I'm a cheap drink. Cheap drunk. Cheap date. Wow. For those of you who are subscribers already, you will see the high version of this. For those of you who are not, you'll get this version of this, which is still just as great, but I think you should subscribe so that you can see the high version of it, because it's about to get really even worse than what it already was.
Subscribe to your YouTube or your Instagram.
Subscribe to my Instagram. You're right. Sorry. Thank you for Dylan. Very grateful for this man, because he helps keep me in line, because I'm a wacky wacko sometimes. Take a look at Dylan's website. Please take a look at everything he has to offer, because this man is like he is just a giver. He is fucking amazing at everything that he does. And he leads with his heart, which is not what a lot of people do nowadays. So take a look out for him. IBIY is literally launching in a couple of months. I believe in you. These bracelets are going to be fucking killer. You're literally going to see all of your favorite influencers rocking this shit because it's just a feel-good bracelet. So check it out. And yeah, thanks for being the first interviewee.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you. Let's go smoke.
Okay.
Let's smoke.
That is all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with us here at the Donna Gift Show, where we chat about the relationship you have with yourself and others in order to help us make sense of the world. We release a new episode every week, and we would love to hear from you. Yep, we want you, the listeners, to submit any questions or topics you want us to discuss. So go ahead and go to my website, www.donnagift.com. That's D-A-N-N-A, gift, like a present, .com, and submit your questions. So you think it and we say it. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on next week's episode.